Now, the state assembly unanimously passed a bill last month that would close the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison and pay for new state and county-run facilities to replace it. This week, the Senate passed a revised and rewritten version of the bill that doesn't include funding for new facilities. That could ultimately mean that nothing ends up going to the governor's desk. Representative Evan Goyke is a Democrat from the state's 18th Assembly District in Milwaukee. He was the author of an early proposal to close Lincoln Hills. Representative Goyke, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me back.
Let's start with a listen to Governor Walker speaking in his State of the State address, talking here about youth corrections.
Instead of one or two large facilities, which has been the model in Wisconsin for decades, our reform plan will create six smaller facilities spread throughout the state. Locations for five of the sites would be determined by collaborating with the 72 counties, since the offenders are sent to state facilities from individual counties. The other facility would be right here at Mendota Mental Health Institute as part of the nationally recognized program for mental health treatment. The complex in Lincoln County would be converted to a medium security adult prison. It would likely focus on alcohol and drug abuse treatment.
And Representative Goyke, we've talked to you about these issues before. How much agreement was there, bipartisan, on doing something along the lines of what the governor was talking about there?
Well, I think in the intro, I think you mentioned that the ultimate bill passed the assembly 95-0. So obviously that's a sign that there was broad bipartisan support. Having worked on this issue for a number of years, I can tell you in the beginning, it was a one-party effort. Democrats were leading the charge and coming up with idea bill after bill, hearing after hearing. We were really pushing this issue. When the governor turned the corner on his support for this proposal, you saw a number of Republicans come to the table that had previously been quiet supporters or silent supporters, I guess, of our efforts. What we came up with was a blend of a number of ideas, some that mentioned by the governor, others that were pending legislative proposals, but ultimately we came up with a collaboration in a bill, Assembly Bill 953, that passed the assembly unanimously with broad bipartisan support in the legislature and the support of a number of important groups outside of the legislature, especially those that would implement the bill, like county leaders from around the state.
We've talked a lot about the troubles and scandals at Lincoln Hills over the last few years here on the show. You've been working on this for some time yourself. Can you remind us of some of the key reasons that you thought, okay, it's time to not send all the youth to this one facility? We need smaller facilities around the state.
So I think most listeners are probably quite familiar with the number of scandals, of abuse, of both students or inmates and staff, lawsuits that are pending. What listeners may be less familiar with, though, is that the facility is not efficient, that we're not getting a return on investment. It costs just under $400 a day per kid per day. So it's about $140,000 per year per kid. And at the end of the day, roughly 60% of those youth were reoffending or committing another crime within 3 years of release. So beyond the moral and ethical call for closing the facility from the scandals, that investigations that were going on, there clearly was also an economic argument to closing the facility. It wasn't working. It's not working effectively to prevent repeat offending of the youth that were there. And what we did then is, so if the status quo is not working, you've got to come up with a solution. And as I did research and looked nationally, states that have engaged in juvenile justice reform in the last several years are moving towards this new model, which is keep the youth as close to their families and to their school districts and to their communities as possible. And small sizes matter. So and why that is, it's all about relationship building, stable, meaningful, trustful relationships with adults. And that the smaller the facility, the better that's able to happen. And that's where we see true, meaningful rehabilitative work take place. And that's why in other states that have these smaller regional facilities, you have lower recidivism rates than Wisconsin currently has.
Talking to State Representative Evan Goyke about efforts to close the Lincoln Hills Youth Corrections Facility. As we mentioned, Representative Goyke, this passed, a plan passed unanimously in the Assembly. Now, the Senate has passed a plan to close it, but it's different. What changed there?
First and foremost, the plan that passed the Senate does not have the funding necessary to begin the plan right away. It maintains a small amount of the funding to do the rehabilitation or expansion of the juvenile mental health facility in Madison. That's a component of the Assembly bill as well. But from there, what the Senate did is make everything, they stripped all of the money and the urgency out of the bill. And rather than acting, the Senate bill has a study committee which must then recommend to the legislature what to do by February of 2019. I would argue that there isn't a debate about what we should do. The solution is right in front of us, and we don't need to wait another year to be told what we already know today. And so I'm concerned that the Senate version not only puts in jeopardy the plan that unanimously passed the Senate, but that it, even if that's the version that passes, it doesn't act fast enough to solve the problem.
And because there are two different plans here, they're not worded the same. They ultimately have to be the same bill to be sent to the governor. The leadership in the Assembly says we're not coming back in regular session. So if two different plans pass, we could end up with zero plan. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. And that was the message that I've been communicating to my Senate colleagues on both sides of the aisle. Any change to the plan is a potential, the potential for immediate change. And I will say this, the Senate has released its official calendar for Tuesday, March 20th. That's the final day they will come and vote on legislation. On their calendar for Tuesday is the Assembly version of the bill. Now, I'm hearing all kinds of rumors and conjecture that the Senate may make changes to the Assembly bill, but I can tell you this. On Tuesday, the state Senate has an opportunity to vote in support of the unanimous bill that passed the Assembly and get it done. Send the bill to the governor. We're confident the governor, he said publicly that he supports the bill. So we can bring swift and immediate action on Lincoln Hills on Tuesday if the Senate and the Senate Republican majority leader decides to vote on the bill. It is on their calendar. I do not believe there is any sound policy justification for their version of the bill versus the Assembly. I'm calling on them to support the Assembly version. And quite honestly, beyond that, I'm calling on Republican leaders outside the Senate, in the Assembly, in Governor Walker and the Department of Justice to get into the halls of the Capitol on Tuesday the 20th, engage and lead on this issue, talk to the Senate Republicans and get it done. And certainly we did that in the Assembly. It's the Senate's turn, and it could happen on Tuesday.
We're talking to Representative Evan Goyke about a legislative effort to close the Lincoln Hills Youth Correctional Facility. Representative Goyke is a Democrat from the state's 18th Assembly District in Milwaukee. He was an author of early proposals to close Lincoln Hills. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Should Lincoln Hills be closed? Do you want to see it, if so, closed soon? What should replace it? What do you think this idea of replacing the one big facility with smaller facilities around the state closer to home for the inmates or students there? What do you think of the way lawmakers are handling this issue with two different plans here? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Representative Evan Goyke stays with us to talk about dueling bills in the legislature in the effort to close the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison. He's a Democrat representing the Milwaukee area. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions for Representative Goyke about how this is going in the legislature? Do you think that Lincoln Hills should be closed? If so, quickly or in a longer-term process? Do you have an experience at Lincoln Hills as a past inmate, a parent of one, or somebody working there? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And Representative Goyke, Senator Van Wongert, Republican from Racine, he's the chair of a committee that passed the amended Senate bill. He said, hey, senators are worried about the cost of the plan. It wasn't clear enough at this point what new facilities would cost. That's why they wanted to change things. What do you think about that?
Well, I think if you want a new system with new facilities, there's no way to escape costs. So I don't understand what he thinks waiting a year is going to do to alleviate that concern, because guess what's going to come up in a conversation a year from now? It's going to cost money to build new facilities. The end of the day, the point of doing this is to reduce recidivism through better treatment and better programming, more effective facilities. So if the goal is reduce crime and add to the future quality of life of these young people, at some point it's going to cost money to design and construct these new facilities. And we knew that all along. Everybody knows that. That's common sense. It would be illogical to think that you could just do all of this for free. So if the argument really is about money, delaying action on it for a year is only going to cost more a year from now. The Senate version of the bill, it doesn't avoid spending money in the future to make these system changes that are needed. It just delays the debate about when we should get it done. So I think waiting a year, it's going to cost more. And if that's the big argument, it really is false, quite honestly. He's wrong. It's going to cost more a year from now, but we might as well act now. You've had me on the program before to talk about the adult side of the justice system, and I just want to make this point. Converting that facility to an adult facility actually has enormous cost savings for the state of Wisconsin. We spend about $24,000 per day to pay county jails to house adult inmates because there's no room in the adult systems. If we can convert Lincoln Hills to an adult facility, that would relieve those jail beds and save $24,000 a day. So just to counter Senator Wangard's argument about cost, the sooner you do this transformation of the facility to an adult, the sooner you save $24,000 a day.
Want to look at the estimated closing date, aiming for January of 2021. Are there thoughts as to, okay, how do we fix things in Lincoln Hills between now and then?
So we've had those discussions, and certainly all of the authors on both sides of the aisle that have been working on this bill are not ignorant and do not want to ignore the problems that are there today. I think it's been very challenging, quite honestly, in my 6 years in office to get the majority party to act on the conditions now. I think some of the things that could be done immediately to address the concerns revolve around how the employees are treated in the workplace and their voice in the Department of Corrections. I've heard from a number of staff members that are there now. They don't have control over forced overtime, the number of vacant positions that are still left unfilled puts pressure on all of the remaining staff members to fill those unfilled shifts. All of that can be done now by the Department of Corrections. It wouldn't take a bill or an act of the legislature to do what's needed to fill those vacant positions and hire more folks. They've got to do that. One thing we're seeing is that it's hard to recruit people and hard to retain people at that facility. And so at least as it's currently operating as a juvenile facility. And so, again, the faster we make these system changes, I think the faster we bring relief to those folks that are working there today that are under an incredible amount of pressure and have not seen the type of swift action and relief that they need from the executive branch, from the governor's office and the Department of Corrections.
I want to bring on a caller now. Janine is with us in Eau Claire. Janine, hi.
Hi. I just want to make a comment, and then I'll take my whatever response off the air. When I was 14 years old, these same problems, shortcomings, the abuses, the neglects, the kids suffering, that was going on then. And I don't think that it's a matter of budget or a senator who wants to go home for vacation. These kids are suffering, and it needs to be dealt with now. Figure the budget out later. These are still minors. They're kids. And I am 53 now, and this was going on then. So that's all, and thanks for taking my call. Bye.
Janine, thanks for the call. Janine sees long-term problems. We've been hearing about more serious problems since the merger from another institution, Representative Goyke. But Janine saying there's some urgency here.
I totally agree with her. And the plan that was unanimously approved by the State Assembly, the reason why I believe firmly that that policy, that bill, will bring the type of relief to the ongoing problems of these facilities, one is by making things smaller, it is much, much easier to keep track of the quality of life of 24 inmates rather than 224 or 124. And the second thing is that the counties, these local regions or local county governments, will be far more responsible for running local programming. That, too, it is far easier for me as a Milwaukee community member to hold accountable the officials that are running a facility when it's in my backyard rather than when it's 3 hours away or when it's my county representative that's on a committee overseeing that facility than when it's the Department of Corrections and a major bureaucracy where it's hard to reach exactly who the decision maker is. So those changes will bring accountability and transparency to the local facilities. And I think knowing that and having those safeguards in place, that will result in better care and better outcomes for the juveniles that are housed there.
We'll leave it there for now. Representative Goyke, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you for having me on again. I appreciate it.
That was State Assembly Representative Evan Goyke. He's a Democrat from the state's 18th Assembly District that's in Milwaukee. He joined us today to talk about the newly written Senate bill that would close the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison. It passed on Wednesday. It's different than the unanimous Assembly bill passed. Now it's up in the air. The same bill would have to be passed to go to the governor's office. And as we've heard, it is on the schedule, the assembly version, to be voted on in the state Senate on Tuesday. Stay tuned to see what happens. Another item on the agenda in the state Senate. The Senate is expected to vote next week to expand funding for Governor Scott Walker's campaign to lure what he calls Midwest millennials here to Wisconsin. WPR's Laurel White went to Chicago to see if millennials there are ready to make the move.
The Fullerton L stop on the north side of Chicago starts getting crowded around 5:15 on this Monday afternoon. Each train car that passes looks fuller than the last. In their rush to get home, commuters smush themselves into the train cars before the doors warn them to get out of the way.
Doors closing.
On the platform, Danny Pace is waiting for a Brown Line train to take him home. He says he's seen the ads for Wisconsin inside the train cars.
I'm trying to remember the slogan. It's like, what is it? It's more you. Is that what it is?
Wisconsin, it's more you.
The ads have been posted in the train car since January. Video ads are running on Facebook and YouTube. Pace says the ads are good, but he's not in the right life spot to consider a move.
Like early 20s, just got a job. Wouldn't really want to uproot, leave all my friends here. So.
Colleen Ferguson is also waiting to take the Brown Line home from work. The 30-year-old lawyer says the ads' messages about a lower cost of living in Wisconsin are compelling.
I would like that because, I mean, everyone has student loans these days as well, so you're focusing on paying those and other expenses like health insurance, so you kind of like the idea that there's a cheaper option out there.
Ferguson says she would definitely consider moving to Wisconsin. Governor Scott Walker hopes other Chicago millennials feel the same way. He's asking lawmakers to approve a roughly $7 million expansion of the ad campaign.
We need to go beyond our borders to attract and then in turn retain more talent here in the state of Wisconsin.
Walker announced the plan at a meeting of business leaders in Madison late last year. He told them the campaign will also focus on shorter commute times in Wisconsin compared to urban areas in neighboring states.
Part of it is we can make a pretty compelling case about the differential between actually doing things in Wisconsin, out canoeing or enjoying a concert or having a drink with friends, as opposed to being stuck in commuting time.
William Fry is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, where he studies population trends. He says studies have shown the number one driving force of getting millennials to move somewhere isn't low cost of living or short commutes or even density of cool coffee shops or concert venues. According to Fry, the key factor is available jobs.
I mean, a good example of that is when we had this very down economy for a good part of the last decade, North Dakota, of all places, was attracting probably more percent migrants than any place else in the country. Now, nothing against North Dakota, but there are other more, you know, high amenity places around the country people would like to live, but they went there because of the jobs.
Back on the train platform, Chicago resident Ian Frank says he'd advise against lawmakers approving the campaign.
So I lived in Milwaukee for a year, so I understand, but it also feels a little passive-aggressive. I feel like I'm being asked to reconsider my life choices, which is appropriate, but also feels a little like, back off, Wisconsin.
Frank said he'd consider moving back to Milwaukee if there was an arts job available, but for now, he's happy in Chicago. The new ad campaign might miss the mark with him, but Wisconsin Republicans are hoping it's a hit with other millennials. The Senate could pass the plan next week and send it to Governor Walker's desk for his signature. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Doors closing.
Coming up Monday on Central Time, there's over $1 trillion in unpaid student loan debt in the United States. A guest makes the case that it should be canceled, all of it, for the good of the people who are in debt and for the health of the economy overall. That and more coming up Monday here on Central Time.